Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our culture unit today, and we're going to be talking about mummies.
Ooh.
The mummies of Egypt and of other places as well. The mummies of Egypt and beyond. No, we're not talking about your mother. Mummy, I guess, is how you say mother in Canada and England. In America, we say, Mommy, Mommy, I want some cookies. But here, mummy, in this particular pronunciation and spelling, refers to body that's been wrapped in cloth or something, and they're trying to preserve it for as long as possible.
You know, the Egyptians were really good at this. I was shocked the first time I saw a real mummy in a museum, and I thought, wow, they're able to really kind of keep it intact for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. I wouldn't want to be a mummy myself. When I'm gone, I just want to be buried and left alone. Thank you.
So you don't really want your DNA preserved in some way?
No.
So maybe in the future they can, take it and reproduce it.
No.
And you can come back to life or something like that.
No, thank you.
But I think they made these mummies for a purpose, to preserve the bodies for as long as possible. I guess to guarantee that the deceased would have a great life in the afterlife, in heaven or hell or wherever. So we're going to talk about mummies in today's program, where they are and how they make them. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now. The practice of mummification goes back thousands of years and is found in a number of different cultures. It's the custom of treating a dead body in order to preserve it for as long as possible. The macabre nature of mummies continues to have an impact on popular culture to this day. Mummies are usually associated with ancient Egyptians, as the most famous examples have been found in the pyramids and tombs of their rulers. The Egyptians believed mummification ensured the dead would live well in the afterlife. The practice began among the wealthy as far back as 3000 BC and improved over the years as techniques were refined and new discoveries made. Even earlier than this, the Chinchorro people of northern Chile and southern Peru mummified their dead using either clay or animal skins. The ancient Egyptian process was documented by Greek historians and took approximately 70 days to complete. First, the corpse was washed and the organs were removed. The exception was the heart, which the Egyptians believed was the center of a person's being and character, and was thus needed by the dead in the afterlife. The body was then filled with salt to dry it out. Once dry, it was stuffed with sawdust and rags and wrapped in layers of cloth. It wasn't just people who were mummified. The ancient Egyptians also mummified animals. One reason for this was to send people's beloved pets to the afterlife with them, but the process was also done to worship the gods. Egyptians believed that their gods could take animal form, such as Sobek, who took the form of a crocodile, and Bastet, the cat goddess.
Okay, guys, we're going to be spending the next couple of programs on mummies, which are kind of fun. The one good thing I discovered about mummies, Tom, when I found, when I got to see my first mummy, was they didn't smell bad. I was afraid they would smell terrible, but I didn't get any smell from them at all. But I was shocked to see that they were in such good shape. Anyway, we're going to be talking about the practice of mummification. You're not going to need this verb too much in your life, to mummify. It means to actually preserve a body, especially the way they used to do it in ancient Egypt, by embalming it and wrapping it in cloth. So to mummify is the verb. Mummification is the noun. So there's a practice of mummification that goes back thousands of years and is found in a number of different cultures. That's what's very interesting to me, is that even though these cultures were separated by continents, they seem to have the same practice practice amongst themselves. So I don't know how maybe some cultures, like in South America, heard about what they were doing over there in Egypt, or we don't know. But it's kind of interesting that several cultures, and we're going to be talking about that, actually practiced mummification.
Right. When we talk about mummification, of course, one of the first places we think about, of course, is Egypt.
Most famous, right?
The most famous one. And, of course, we talk about their mummies.
Yes.
As you said, mummification is the process of turning a dead body into a mummy for preservation purposes. So that's what it is, the custom of treating a dead body, not treating it in a certain way, but applying certain chemicals to it or cloth, treating it in a certain way in order to preserve it for as long as possible. And the macabre nature of mummies continues to have an impact on popular culture to this day. So here we've got the word macabre here. That's a French word, so it's got the R-E at the end there, just like the verb to be in French. Etre, I think, E-T-R-E. Macabre here. You wouldn't pronounce the R-E if you're speaking English. I suppose if you're speaking French, you'd say macabre or something like that. But in English, we just say macabre. I guess some people say macabre, according to my Oxford dictionary here, but I've never heard that used in everyday speech. I say macabre here, and that just refers to things that are kind of scary, kind of horrifying, and something that has to do with death and scary things like that. So, yes, you'd probably see lots of images of the macabre or macabre creatures coming out at night during Halloween.
Well, I can give an example. Television program, a series that is very macabre in nature, and that's The Walking Dead, or about zombies that come back to life. That's pretty macabre. Anyway, yeah, that's not my favorite type of entertainment. I'm not into vampires or zombies or mummies, but yeah, it's very popular these days. So there is kind of this dark, scary nature of mummies that continues to have an impact on popular culture to this day. When I was growing up, there was a comedian that was named Steve. What was his last name?
Martin.
Steve Martin, yeah. He's pretty old now, but he did a song called King Tut that was pretty famous. And so I remember being in school and people learning the mummy dance along with his song. So it was kind of fun. Anyway, mummies are usually associated with ancient Egyptians. I think it's because we probably found their mummies first. The archaeologists that we have talked about in different programs, the Discovery Channel, we're talking about archaeologists. They found some really intact mummies in Egypt. And so I think that's where our focus went for a long time. But now we know other cultures have been using this practice of mummification as well. When you associate something with something else, you put them together. I always associate peanut butter and jelly. You know, they're associated, at least in America, for a quick sandwich, especially for kids. They love peanut butter and jelly. But mummies here, it says, are usually associated with the ancient Egyptians. I think it's because they're the most famous examples we've found. They were found in the pyramids and tombs of their rulers. I did mention to Tom during a break that you had to be a wealthy, important part of royalty sort of person in order to even be turned into a mummy after death. Normal people, just, you know, the average Jane, average Joe, no, none of this would happen to you.
That's right. So you had to be a hotshot, a ruler, a king, a pharaoh, as in the case of the Egyptians.
Yeah.
So they were buried in tombs, and they were also found in pyramids. Of course, the pyramids of Egypt, but there are other pyramids in the world. I can think of the pyramids in Central America, of the Mayans. There's a pyramid in Indonesia there, Borobudur, I think it's called. It's the pyramid of Buddhism, et cetera, et cetera. And so, of course, this particular pyramid or the pyramids are referring to Egypt there, where they buried their rulers, and then they found the bodies later, and they were mummified. And so that's what we think of when we think of mummies. We associate mummies with ancient Egyptians. Now, the Egyptians believed mummification ensured the dead would live well in the afterlife. The dead, dead people. They thought that if you mummify a body, if you turn it into a mummy, well, that will guarantee, that will ensure that the dead will live well in the next life, in the afterlife. And I think most cultures have traditions like this. It's similar here in Taiwan. When you burn paper money, of course, you're sending that to your dead ancestors so that they live well in the afterlife, so they've got enough money to spend. People do that stuff all over the world, so they're ensuring or guarantee that the dead live pretty well in the next life.
Yeah, so ensure can't actually just be turned into make sure, so you can make sure something happens. So sometimes we'll actually, like Tom did, use that word guarantee. I mean, we can't really guarantee that we know they're going to be using some of these things in the afterlife. We do have people who have died for a short bit of time and come back, and they have interesting stories, but nobody really knows exactly what happens in the afterlife. We just have our theories and our dreams and our hopes. We hope it's okay. So the practice actually began among the wealthy. See, here it is.
Makes sense.
You had to have some money as far back as 3000 BC. So 3000 years before the birth of Christ, this practice was already being instituted. But here's the thing. They actually improved their technique over the years. That's true of most anything we do in life. As you practice at something, you get better and better and better. Hopefully, you don't get worse. So they improved their techniques. They were refined and new discoveries made. If you refine something, you take something and you make some changes to get rid of things that aren't working so well. Or, for example, if you are eating refined bread, they've probably processed it a lot. Refined sugar, yeah. So we're trying to eat more natural things these days. We know it's more healthy. But if a technique is refined, it becomes more and more exact, becomes more and more perfected. And that's when they were making new discoveries.
Right, and these are techniques that are used for mummification so the bodies can be preserved for longer periods of time. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in today's lesson. Let's take a break now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest, 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 14, The Mummies of Egypt and Beyond 的第一天课程。名词 mummy 是木乃伊的意思。动词 mummified, M-U-M-M-I-F-Y, 是将什么做成木乃伊的意思。而名词 mummification 就是指木乃伊化。我们看到第一段的第一句 The practice of mummification goes back thousands of years and is found in a number of different cultures. 木乃伊化的惯例可追溯至数千年前，并且存在于许多不同的文化中。A number of 是一些的意思，后面接复数名词，搭配复数形动词。例如 ,A number of customers are lining up in front of the store. 有一些顾客在这家店前排队。要注意 ,A number of 和 the number of 的意思和用法有所不同。The number of 是指什么的数量。后面也是接复数名词，但主词是 number, 所以要搭配单数型的动词。例如 ,The number of newborn babies in Taiwan is on the decline. 台湾新生儿的数量在减少中。我们接着看到第一段的第二句 ,It's the custom of treating a dead body in order to preserve it for as long as possible.这是处理尸体以便尽可能长时间保存的习俗。句型 as possible 或 as somebody can 是指尽可能怎么样的意思。例如 ,to win the race, all the athletes ran as fast as possible. 为了赢得这场比赛,所有的运动员尽可能跑快一点。To give his family a better life,Andrew tried to earn as much money as he could. 为了让家人过更好的生活，安德鲁试着尽可能赚多一点钱。我们接着看第二段的第一句的前半部分。Mummies are usually associated with ancient Egyptians. 木乃伊通常和古埃及人有关。动词 associate 有将什么联系或联想在一起的意思。片语 associate A with B 就是指将 A 和 B 联想在一起。例如 Paris is often associated with the Eiffel Tower. 巴黎常会让人联想到巴黎铁塔。动词 associate 也有结交的意思。片语 associate with somebody 就是指和某人结交来往。例如 ,while working in the US, Jason associated with a number of successful businessmen. 杰森在美国工作时结交了一些成功的商人。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We shall now continue with our lesson. We're talking about the mummies of Egypt.And beyond. In other words, in other countries as well. Egypt isn't the only place that has mummies. Other places have them as well. But we've mainly been focusing on the mummies of Egypt because most people associate mummies with ancient Egyptians because they found them in the tombs of the pyramids. And that's why they did this, to ensure the dead would live well in the next life, etc., etc. So let's go to some other cultures here that have mummification practices.
Cool.
Even earlier than the Egyptians, we had the Chinchorro people of northern Chile and southern Peru down there in South America. They mummified their dead using either clay or animal skins.
Huh.
So those are some of the techniques that those people used to mummify their dead, or to turn the dead bodies of their dead friends and relatives into mummies. In this particular case, they used clay, which is a kind of dirt or soil that usually is made into pots and things like that. And they would also use animal skins, like leather or something like that.
Wow! If you get online, you can see that they've even discovered a 7,000-year-old Chinchorro mummy from the Andes.
Cool.
That's really old. Kind of cool, huh? I love history like this. So, yeah, so they actually mummified their dead using clay, so that's that wet dirt, or animal skins, which were really popular then. The ancient Egyptian process was documented by Greek historians and took approximately 70 days to complete. We are very grateful to those Greeks who actually wrote this down, so we have some history in writing and we don't have to guess. It wasn't a fast process. Nowadays, we do, at least in the States, embalm the body that has died.But it doesn't take as very long. This took 70 days to complete. When you document something, it simply means you put something down in writing. Or maybe someone's asking you to document what you discovered. Maybe you went out for your boss and was checking out a project. He wants you to make sure you document everything. So write that down somewhere. Nowadays, we, of course, use computers to document everything. But back then, somebody took...Probably wasn't a pencil and paper, but they did write down the process. Approximately here just means around that number. We don't know the exact number of days, but, you know, it could be 69, it could be 72. But it took approximately that long to complete the whole process.
That's a lot. I wonder if they had such practices in ancient China to preserve the bodies of ancient emperors or something like that. That's something you can discuss amongst yourselves. But in any case here, that's a long time to get a body ready for mummification. But here's the process. First, the corpse was washed and the organs were removed. After someone dies and you need to refer to the body, you can say the corpse, although that's a technical word. You wouldn't use that word at a funeral.
Don't use it with family or friends, please.
Right. If you go to a funeral, you can say, oh, let's go look at the corpse.
No.
That's very rude. You'd say, let's go look at the remains of the deceased or whatever. You could probably say, well, let's go look at the body. But in this case, the corpse is just a scientific word that's used specifically to refer to a dead body.
The police would use it, or the doctor doing the examination. But yeah, friends, family.Don't.
Absolutely. So, yes, they washed the corpse. They washed the dead body first, and the organs, were removed. So the liver, the kidneys, the spleen,
the lungs, the bladder, the lungs,
etc. were all taken out of the body except for the heart. So the exception was the heart. They left that in there because the ancient Egyptians believed the heart was the center of a person's being and character. Being here just refers to their existence, basically, their soul, and also their character, their personality. If you take the heart away, they just aren't the same person anymore. So it was thus needed by the dead in the afterlife. They needed that heart to stay in their body. Otherwise, they'd be nobody in the afterlife.
Interesting, because nowadays we think of the brain as having the person's being and character there. We do a lot of heart transplants, so we know that that person's being and character isn't really in the heart, but that's what they believed. The body was then filled with salt to dry it out. This is a technique I've heard of before with different kinds of food. You can use salt to dry things out. Here they were actually putting salt in the body. So, of course, at that point, all of the blood has been drained and taken out.
Sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? But we are indeed talking about the process here. So once dry, once the salt had sucked all the moisture out of the body, then the body was stuffed with sawdust and rags and wrapped in layers of cloth. Sawdust is basically small particles of wood that you get when you saw wood.
Mm-hmm.
You can get sawdust in different ways, but it's very fine wood, and they would use rags, which are old pieces of cloth, and they would stuff the body with those things, and then on the outside of the body they would wrap it with cloth, which would kind of be those long kind of white bandages or something like that. I guess if you want to dress up as a mummy at Halloween, you can go down to your medical store and get a bunch of bandages or something and wrap them around yourself so you look like a mummy.
So in the last paragraph here, it says it wasn't just people who were mummified. The ancient Egyptians also mummified animals. That's not surprising. You know, we love our pets, and of course people back then, they had some pets as well. So they would also mummify the pets so they could keep that, you know, Egyptian who had been mummified company in the afterlife. So one reason for this, it says, was to send people's beloved pets to the afterlife with them. Maybe a cat, maybe a dog. Here we're going to be talking about a crocodile. That wouldn't be my first choice for a pet. Or a cat. I'm allergic, so I don't like cats. But So this would be something that you would do as we do now with you guys. You have the paper money and the houses and the cars that we burn for the ancestors here in Taiwan. This is a similar idea. You wanted them to be happy in the afterlife. So you would also mummify their favorite pets.
If I had to have a pet come with me, I would take a turkey with me, just because they're kind of interesting animals. They're really ugly, but they've got the gobble there.
I don't like the sound.
That would be kind of cool to hear in the afterlife. But in any case, yes, indeed, they take those beloved pets with them. So animals were mummified too. And that process was also done to worship the gods. I guess in ancient Egypt, some of their gods were actually animals, like cats and things like that.
Yep, but the process was also done to worship the gods. Yeah, back then they would often offer animal sacrifices to the gods to keep the gods happy. They didn't understand science back then, so they felt like, you know, if they sacrificed animals, some people sacrificed human beings, that the gods who controlled the sun and the rain would be happier with them. When you worship, it just means you're doing something to show reverence and love, and you're expressing your adoration for some sort of deity or God. We're using the small g here because their gods were not what we think of today as, you know, one God, the capital G.
Hmm.
They, you know, had gods who were over different parts of their world, and that's what they believed back then. Of course, they hadn't been introduced to science at that point. Egyptians believed that their gods could take animal form. So maybe their gods were not always this particular animal, but they did believe that the god named Sobek could take the form of a crocodile. Yeah, crocodile is pretty fierce. So I'm not surprised they would pick that. Now, the cat goddess was an interesting thing for me to read about. I can't imagine a cat actually being worshipped.
They are in some parts of the world. It kind of depends on your luck, though. Most cats are antisocial, but sometimes they can be really friendly little devils.
I think they like to be worshipped.
They do, indeed. You know, I grew up with a cat. He was a friendly little devil, so yeah, I like cats. But as I said earlier, if I had to be buried with a mummified animal, it would be a chicken or a turkey. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Even earlier than this, the Chinchurro people of northern Chile and southern Peru mummified their dead using either clay or animal skins. 甚至在此之前，智利北部和秘鲁南部的新克罗人使用泥土或兽皮将死者做成木乃伊。对等连接词 either A or B 就是指不是 A 就是 B 的意思。A 和 B 必须是对等的字词或句子结构。例如 ,Mary is pregnant now, and she thinks either a boy or a girl would be fine for her. 玛丽现在怀孕，她认为不管是男孩或女孩对她而言都好。常见的对等连接词还有 neither A nor B, 不是 A 也不是 B 的意思。例如 ,Jeff is neither tall nor short. He is a man of average height.杰夫不高也不矮，他是中等身材。Not only A, but also B. 不但 A, 而且 B 的意思。例如 ,When his company went bankrupt, Sam lost not only his job, but also his retirement pay. 当公司破产时，山姆不但失去工作，也失去退休金。文章的第三段提到木乃伊的制作方式，我们看到第三段的最后一句。Once dry, it was stuffed with sawdust and rags, and wrapped in layers of cloth. 一旦干燥后，身体被塞满锯木屑和破布，并用多层布包裹。Once 在本句是当副词连接词，一旦的意思，其后应接一完整句子。所以这句本来是 Once it was dry, it was stuffed with... 点点点。副词子句 once 里的主词和主要子句的主词都是 it, 省略 once 子句里的 it, 后面的 was 变成现在分词 being, 而 being 又可省略只留下形容词 dry, 就形成了分词构句 once dry。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
Well, that's it, guys. That's just day one, though, of our Mummies of Egypt and Beyond. We're going to spend another program talking about mummies and kind of bring it into more current day, I would say. We're going to be talking about some movies that are popular and when popular interest in mummies actually really gained some steam or got more and more popular. But for now, we're out of time, so we got to say goodbye. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.